Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Chaf Aleph. Since Perek Yud Bet, we have been discussing different types of obligations a husband has toward his wife, as well as toward his sons and daughters. Are there any obligations in the opposite direction? This perek discusses the various types of household work which a wife is expected to do for her husband. The later part of the perek gets into the privileges she enjoys and the responsibilities she accepts during the periods in which she nurses young children. Halacha Aleph, Mitziat ha'isha ma'aseh ader levada, u'mahi osalo, hakol k'minhag ha'medina, makom shedarkan le'erog, oreget, lirkom, rokemet, litvot tsemer opishtan, tova. The Rambam begins with the principle that the work which a wife does for her husband depends on local custom, minhag ha'medina. As Poskim point out, the radical changes in technology and societal norms between the time of Chazal and the modern era have created a very different conception of the work in which a woman is generally involved. Many of these specific labors described in this perek, like weaving, embroidering, and spinning threads listed in this halacha, are either irrelevant or far less common due to technological advances, and others still exist in very different forms. And in a reality where women, like men, are part of the workforce and may spend much of the day outside the home, the general minhag, even in very conservative parts of society, is for the husband and wife to share in the household duties, employing whatever arrangement works best in each individual case. Halacha bet. Dachka atzma va'asat yater min hara'uila hamotar labal. Hayala velo mamon harbe, afilu hayulahem kamashfachot, eina yoshevet levatala belo melacha klal, shabatala mviali dezima, aval ein kofinota lasot melacha kol hayom kulo, ela lafi rov hamamon mima etet bamlacha, vahmadirat ishto shalota se melacha klal, yotzivi ten ktuba, shabatala mviali dezima. A husband has rights to his wife's maisayadaim. And this is true even if she exerts herself and produces more than expected. The surplus belongs to the husband. We mentioned back in Perek Yud Bet that the husband receives this surplus in exchange for an extra ma'a kesef that he gives his wife each week. Therefore, the Rama writes that if he doesn't wish to give her this ma'a kesef, or if she has no interest in taking it, then she keeps her surplus ma'aseyadayim. If the husband and wife are wealthy, they may hire servants to do some of the labors which the wife would otherwise need to do herself. More details on this in Halachot Hey and Vav. This allows her to have some free time during the day, but the couple may not hire servants to do everything. A woman may not sit idle all day and do no work at all, because idleness can lead to distraction and eventually to sin. Therefore, if a husband imposes a neder on his wife, forbidding her to perform all malacha, we discussed in earlier prakim how exactly he does such a thing, then he must divorce her and pay her the entire sum of her ketubah. Continuing in halacha gimel, v'chein kol isha rocheset levala panav yadav raglav, umozeget lo et akos, umatzat lo et amita, v'omedet umishameshet bifnei bala, kigon shetiten lo mayim o kli o titomi lefanav, nachayotzei bedvarim elu, aval eina omedet umishameshet bifnei aviv o bifnei beno, umelachot elu osa otam hi ba'atzma, v'afilu hayu lehem kama shvachot, ein osa melachot elu labal ela ishto. There are certain specific malachot which a wife does for her husband even if they have many servants. These came up in Perek Yud Chet as malachot which are meant to promote intimacy between husband and wife, and therefore a widow does not perform them for the yorshim after her husband's death. These include washing his face, hands, and feet, pouring his cup of drink, making his bed, and doing his bidding in general, like to bring him something that he needs or to take from him what he no longer needs. She is not required to do the bidding of her husband's father or son. The Rama quotes an opinion that most of the work of making the husband's bed can be delegated to a servant. The only part which she must do herself, because it promotes intimacy, is spreading a sheet over the bed after it is made. Halacha hei, yesh melachot achirot shayisha usa otam levala bizman shein aniyim, ve'elu hein. אופה את הפת בתנור, ועזרתי כן שתהיה אישה משכמת ואופה כדי שהפת תהיה מצויה לעניים, ומבשלת את התבשילין, ומכבסת בגדים, ומניקה את בנה, ונותנת תבן לפני בהמתו, אבל לא לפני בקרו, ומתחנת. The remaining melachot, which a wife must do if there are no servants, include baking bread, cooking food, washing clothes, nursing her child, giving straw to her husband's riding animal, but not to his cattle, and grinding flour. There is a takana dating back to Ezra, at the start of the period of Vayicheni, that a woman should bake bread early in the morning, so that it can be available for any aniyim who come by asking for food. The Shulchan Aruch writes that a woman may not be required to perform melachot which the women of her family or of her husband's family typically do not perform because of their social status. The Ramah adds that the requirement that a wife nurse her child does not extend to children of her husband's from other wives. Halacha Vav. B'medivrei Amurim Baniim. אבל אם הכניסה לו שפחה אחת או נכסים שראויים לקנות מהן שפחה אחת, או שהייתה לו שפחה אחת, או שהיה לו ממון כדי לקנות שפחה אחת, אינה מתחנת ולא אופה, ולא מכבסת, ולא נותנת תבן לפני בהמתו. הכניסה לו שתי שפחות, או נכסים הראויים לקנות מהן שתי שפחות, או שהיו לו שתי שפחות, או שהיה ראוי לקנות שתי שפחות, אינה מבשלת ואינה מניקה את בנה, אלא נותנת אותו לשפחה להניק. The list in the last halacha, as we said, is relevant when there are no servants. But if either the husband or wife brings a servant into the marriage, or if either has money to hire one, then this servant takes care of grinding flour, baking bread, washing clothes, and giving straw to the husband's animal. If there are two servants, or money to hire two servants, then the second one handles the cooking and the nursing. This leaves the wife to do only the melachot listed in Halacha Gimel, which promote intimacy. Halacha Chet gives a limitation even on those melachot. Kol ha-melachot sha'isha osa levala, nida osa levala, chutz mimizigat ha-kos ve'atzaat ha-mita ve'archatzat panav yadav ve'raglav, gzeira mishum hirhur, shema yavo liv'ol. לפיכך, מצאת מיטתו כשהיא נידה שלא בפניו, ומוזגת הכוס ואינה נותנת אותו בידו כדרכה תמיד, אלא מנחת אותו על הארץ או על הכלי, והוא נות לו. When a woman is a nida, she may not do the following מלאכות for her husband: washing his face, hands and feet, pouring his cup of drink and putting it directly in his hand, and making his bed in his presence. Because these melachot promote intimacy, we are concerned that if she does them in the manner described in this halacha, they may come to have relations together, in violation of the Isser of Nida. She may make his bed when he isn't around, and may pour his cup and put it on the ground or on some other surface from which he can take it. We note that the Rambam believes that passing an object from hand to hand is in general permitted between husband and wife even when she is a nida, and is only prohibited in the case of his cup of drink, which she pours. But the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchot Nida prohibits passing anything from hand to hand, as a gzera lest the two spouses come to touch each other. This is one of the many harchakot, which limit physical interaction between husband and wife when she is a nida, and one which can be very challenging to observe in practice. Halacha Tet. Haisha sheshavra kelim be'et she'osa melachotea b'toch beita, petura. Ve'ein ze min adin ela takana, shim ein ata omer kein, ein shalom b'toch habayit la'olam, ela nimtzeit nizheret v'nimnat mirov hamlachot, v'nimtzeit kitata b'nehem. If the wife breaks any of her husband's objects while she is working in the home, she does not need to pay for the damage by, say, having the sum deducted from her ketubah. In principle, she should be obligated to pay, but this is a special takana meant to preserve peace in the home. If she would be required to pay, then she will be overly cautious and not do her melachot properly, which in turn will cause her husband to be unhappy with her. The Raivid disagrees and believes that she is exempt from damages for a fundamental reason. This is an example of Shmira Bibalim. When someone guards an object at the same time that the owner of the object works for him, the Shomer is exempt from any damage sustained by the object. This is based on a pasuk in Parshat Mishpatim, and we'll discuss at greater length much later in the Mishnah Torah. That is the case here, according to the Ravid. The wife is a shomer, as she performs her duties in the house, and the husband works for her at the time, in the sense that he provides her with food, clothing, and her other needs. The Magen Mishnah defends the Rambam by rejecting the Ravid's characterization of the husband as a hired worker of the wife. Only when the husband actively works on his wife's behalf is this the case, and not in general. Another machloket between the Rambam and the Ravid comes up in Halacha Yud, regarding a woman who refuses to perform her household duties. Both agree that she may be coerced to do so, but the Rambam allows even physical coercion, while the Ravid believes that this coercion takes the form of withholding her mezonot and other necessities until she relents. Halacha Yud Aleph. Ha'isha kol zman shi minika, pochatin la mimasei adea, umosifin la bimezonotea, yain uvarim shafin la chalav. Pasku la mezonot haruyot la, varehi mitava lechol yater, o lechol machalot acherot mipnei choli tava shiyesh la bivitna, harei zo ochelet mishala kol ma shetirtse. Veina bal yachol la'akev, velomar shim tochal yater midai, o tochal machal raya mutavlad, mipnei shetzar gufa kodem. When a wife is nursing her son, her work is reduced, and her mezonot are increased, specifically by adding wine, as well as foods which are beneficial to producing milk. If she has cravings for other foods, or if she just wants to eat more than what is covered even by this enlarged mezonot stipend, then she may buy any food she wishes using her own money, and her husband may not refuse to allow her any food on the grounds that it will harm the baby. The Ravid is in his Asaga here, believes that as long as she is nursing only her son, even any additional food she craves beyond her mezonot stipend must be paid for by the husband. The only time she must pay for her own food is if she takes on the job of nursing someone else's child in addition to her own, a case which comes up in Halacha Yud Bet. Yalda to'omim, ein kofinota lahnik shnehen, ela minika echad, v'socher abal minika lasheni. Hare sheratza ta'isha lanik ben chaverta im bena, habal ma'akev, ve'ino manicha ela lanik beno bilvad. If she gives birth to twins, then she is not required to nurse both if she doesn't want to. In this case, the husband must hire someone to nurse one of the twins. If she wishes to nurse her friend's child in addition to her own, the husband may veto this and insist that she nurse only their child and no others. The Rambam would also presumably agree with the Ravid from Halacha Yud Aleph that if the husband does not veto it, then any additional food the wife needs to eat due to this additional nursing job must be paid for out of her own pocket. Halacha Yud Gimel. Nadra shelo lahanik et bena, kofa uminikato ad sheye ben 24 chodesh, echad hazachar vechad hanekeva. He omeret ani anik et bni, v'hu eino rotze shetanik ishto kidei shelo titnavel, afal pi sheyesh lahem kama shvachot la shomim, shetzar hu la lifrosh mibena. Even if the wife takes a neder not to nurse her son or daughter, she may be forced to do so until the baby is 24 months old. Conversely, if she wishes to nurse her baby, but the husband objects because this will make her less beautiful, and he prefers instead to have a servant or a hired nursemaid do the work, then we allow the wife to nurse, because it can be painful for her to part from her child in this manner. Halacha Yud Dalet applies here the principle we've learned in earlier prakim of ola imo veina yoredet imo. If the wife herself is poor and would normally have to nurse her own child, but the husband is wealthy and can afford to hire a nursemaid or to purchase a female servant, then the wife may insist that he do so if she does not want to nurse. But if she makes this demand and he denies having the means to hire a nursemaid or purchase a servant, she must prove that he does in order to be relieved of her duty to nurse. Halacha Tet Zayin. Ha'isha shnitgarsha, ein kofinota lahanik, ela im ratzat, noten la schara uminikato, vim lo ratzat, notenet lo et beno, v'hu metapel bo. B'me devarim amurim, shelo heinika oto ad shehikira, aval im hikira, v'afilu haya suma, ein mafrishinoto me'imo, mipnei sakanat havalad, ela kofinota uminika oto b'sachar ad 24 chodesh. If a husband divorces his wife while she is nursing their child, she cannot be forced to continue nursing. If she wishes, then she may continue to do so and be paid by the husband for her work. But if she prefers, she may stop nursing altogether and tell her ex-husband to find someone else to nurse the baby. But this is only true if she has not yet nursed long enough for the baby to recognize her and become accustomed to her. This is a natural process which doesn't depend on sight, and it happens even if the baby is blind. If the baby has become accustomed to nursing from his mother, then it would be dangerous for the baby to be separated from her at this point. And so we force her to continue nursing the baby in exchange for pay until the baby is 24 months old. The Rama writes that even before the baby reaches the point of recognizing the mother and latching onto her, if the husband does not have the financial means to hire someone else to nurse, then the mother can be forced to continue nursing until the baby is 24 months old. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hagrusha ein la mezonot, af al pi shehi menikat beno, aval noten la yater al schara dvarim shakatan tzarich lehen mikasut umachal umashke v'sicha v'chayotzeba, aval hameuberet ein la klum. Even when a divorced mother continues to nurse her son, she does not continue to get mezonot. But her ex-husband must pay her, aside from the salary for nursing, for basic necessities of the baby, like additional food and drink, clothing, and oil to rub on its skin. If a divorced woman is pregnant from her ex-husband, she does not get anything from her ex-husband for the duration of the pregnancy. Continuing in Halacha Yud Zayin, Shalmu chadashav ugemalato, im ratzat hamegoreshet shiye bena etzla, ein mafrishino to mimena, ad shiye ben sheish shanim gmurot, ela kofinat aviv enotein lo mezonot, vuhu etzelimo, v'achar sheish shanim yesh la'av lomar, im hu etzli etein lo mezonot, v'im hu etzelimo, eini notein lo klum, v'abat etzelima le'olam, v'afilu la'achar sheish. This halacha and the next one get into questions of child custody. Once the 24 months are over and the divorced mother finishes nursing her baby, she has two options. If she wants nothing more to do with the child, then the child is returned to the father. Or if the father has died, then the community must care for the child by finding it an appropriate home. In the more likely case that the mother wishes to continue holding on to the child, she may insist that the child continue to live with her until the age of 6. During this time, the father must provide the child with mezonot. Recall from Perek Yud Bet that a father is obligated midoraita to provide mezonot for his children until the age of 6. Once the child reaches age 6, what happens next depends on whether it is a boy or a girl. If it is a girl, then she stays with her mother, and the father continues paying for mezonot based on takanat usha until she reaches adulthood. Halacha Yud Chet clarifies that even if the mother remarries, the father and not her second husband must continue providing mizonot for his daughter as she lives with her mother. And as we discussed in Perek Yud Bet, Beit Din may even force him to pay this money as a form of tzedakah if he is wealthy enough to give tzedakah. Even if the father dies while the daughter still lives with her mother, the Tanai Ketubah of mizonot habat takes effect and she continues to be supported from his estate. On the other hand, if the child is a boy, then at age 6, the father may insist that he will only continue to pay for mezonot if he has custody of a son. The implication is that if the mother is willing to pay for mezonot herself, then she may choose to maintain custody of her son, and Beit Din will not intervene. But some achronim write that the son should live with his father after age 6, so that his father can teach him Torah and instruct him in mitzvot, as he is obligated to do based on his mitzvah of chinuch. The Ravid writes in his Asaga to Halacha Yud Zayin that even when the son is less than 6 years old, the father may insist on having custody of him so that he can teach him Torah starting from age 4 or 5. In defense of the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah writes that the small amount of Torah which the child is capable of learning at that age, Kriyat Shema and other isolated psukim, he can learn from his father during occasional visits, and he does not need to live with his father on a permanent basis until beginning a more rigorous regimen of Talmud Torah at the age of 6. The Rama writes that Beit Din may decide in certain cases that it is better even for a daughter to live with her father after age 6, and in these cases the mother may not force the father to let her have custody. This entire topic is obviously a very sensitive one, in which many factors must be taken into account, and the overriding consideration must, of course, be the best interests of the child. Each case must be evaluated on an individual basis, and it is hard to make general statements which apply in all places and at all times. Aside from halachic considerations, there are social and psychological factors which must be weighed as well, in addition to the rules imposed by secular law. When these questions come up, it is important to consult not only a competent and empathetic Rav, but also professionals from other fields who are experienced and knowledgeable about the relevant issues. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.